Certainly is good to have each and everyone here. Appreciate everyone being out. It's always an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you. Tonight, I want to talk to you this afternoon about a subject we all wonder about sometimes, I believe. I know I do, and I know other people that believe wonder about it, and definitely people who are not Christians. I want you to explain to them somehow, some why that happens, but I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about suffering. Jesus, He promised to us as Christians that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He'd be there with us no matter what. Even to the end of the world. That's what He promised for us as Christians. We know that we have the Lord there with us and for us. And, you know, every one of us have had people in our lives at times that was there for us in this physical life. You know, that was really there for us. If we needed them any time, day or night, that we could call them, we know they're there for us. If there's anything that we needed, if they had it, they'd let us have it. You know, but we have such a greater blessing as Christians, as children of the Lord, that we can ask for things that even physical friends or brethren or family or loved ones or whoever it may be could ever give us, you know. Just recently, not very long ago, I was talking to someone about the Lord and the lady asked me about the suffering thing. You know, seems to have a lot going on in her life and everything, and seems like there's no end to it. And just more and more and overwhelming. And we talk about God, and I try to share my faith. But why does all this suffering go on? You know, if God's in control and He's a kind, caring, loving God, and we know He is, then why does it all happen? Well, tonight I'd like to take a short period of time to try to explain to you the best that I can understand from God's Word. And it helps me out, I know. I heard it asked of someone about the similar thing before, and it's a real good summing up that I understood good. That, you know, if we compare it to our fleshly children, if you have children, you understand. If you don't have children, if you was one, you might understand. But anyways, it's like with our children, we wouldn't dare have them fall down and hurt themselves, would we? But no, sometimes we're walking along and even they're holding our hand and they trip and they fall and they get hurt. Well, we wouldn't have dare allowed that to happen if we could have stopped it, would we? No, we would not want them to be harmed in any way, form, or fashion. We'd rather do it ourselves than to have it happen to them. And that's the same way that the Lord feels about us, too. But the fact of the matter, we live in this world, is there's going to be things happen. Sometimes it's brought on by our sin. Suffering is. We have to go through consequences. Sometimes it's brought about by us doing what is right in the Lord. Sometimes we have to suffer some for that. And I'll use some scripture and I'll back that up with it when we get into it. Sometimes it's like it was with old Job. Sometimes it don't have anything to do with us at all in anything that we did. But we just must suffer through it anyways. You know, we go through trials and temptations and tribulations, and the people who live for the Lord are going to go through those things. But let's just get into it a little bit. The definition comes from Nelson's Bible Dictionary. It says suffering is affliction, an agony, or distress. It's intense pain or sorrow. Suffering has been part of human experience since man's fall in Genesis chapter 3. Do you ever think about how that before man sinned in the Garden of Eden, that there was no pain, no suffering, no dying, no tears, no parting? Well, you know what? That's the way it's going to be for us one day as Christians. We're going to have to go through it here. We're going to have to go through it in this short period of time that we're here, like James termed it, this vapor of a life, even if you live to be 100 or more, you know, which it seems like a long time to us because we're confined to it. But you know what? And compared to eternity, it's just a vapor. And we are going to spend eternity in one place or another, either heaven or in hell. No matter who you are, no matter what you are, everyone is going to, by their actions, whether they obey the Lord or not, they're going to spend eternity, a long, 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 longer than we can imagine period of time in one or the other. You know, so I like to think about this, is we need to always keep the big picture in focus, and that is that reaching that goal in heaven one day. So these sufferings and trials and tribulations and pains and anguish, no matter how bad they are, we have to go through here, it's toward reaching that main goal at the end of the tunnel, which is heaven, eternal life that we're seeking for as Christians. And that's all that's going to matter. Nothing else is going to be important. It won't make a bit of difference. In Psalms, one-third of it approximately is dedicated to lamenting. If you'll think about it, David, many times he was crying out to God because of his enemies, those who sought to kill him at times. Saul did. The persecutions, the sin that he had brought upon himself as well. So there's all kinds of examples of those things in the Bible. The theme of the book of Job, the problem of suffering and why God permitted the righteous to suffer. You know? Well, there's a few definitions that the Bible gives us for these such things. One of the sufferings brought about is just like on September 11th, when evil men do evil things, then righteous people and innocent people must suffer. The Lord only knows we've got plenty of evil people out there, because you can turn on the news anytime, like I talk about, and you can see the evil that goes on. You can see how innocent people and people who can't fend for themselves are abused and took advantage of. So there's some suffering brought about by that. There's suffering that we bring about by not obeying God. There are consequences we must go through. You know, I still pay the price sometimes for some of the things I did 20 years ago. You know, God never promised He'd take the consequences away. He promised He'd forgive me. My sins would be washed away. That I'd be white as snow. That I'd be found righteous in Him through His mercy and through Jesus' blood. That's it. That's the only way. It's not that I'm able to keep His law perfectly enough to deserve that. No, it's through His grace and through His mercy and through His love for me and for you. That's how. That's the only way that it can be. I made my share of mistakes, and I'm sure every one of us have, and we still do it from time to time, no doubt. Sometimes suffering doesn't have anything to do with these past sins. Another thing is that we have free will in this. God gave us free will to choose to do whatever we wanted, and that brings about suffering sometimes. If we choose to make the wrong decisions and not obey God, you know, we have to suffer. You know, I like to put it like this, and maybe it helps you to understand, it does me. If we're doing what God said for us to do, if we're going by the Bible, if we're being righteous to the best of our ability, it seems like we're under this protection somewhat, under this umbrella, if you would. God has us right there. You know, with Job, what was it? The devil said to God that he couldn't touch him, take down those hedges. There was a hedge of protection there for Job, wasn't there? For him doing what was right. And so he talked God into taking those hedges down where he could do everything to him that he wanted, say, but take his life. And he did. See, Job didn't know anything about this. Job didn't deserve it. It wasn't the consequences like his buddies that came and talked to him and said, we know that this punishment and these things and this suffering, that it's proportioned to sin. Now just go ahead and ante up and tell us what you've done. You know, we know that you've committed some great atrocity and brought this on yourself. But the truth of the matter was that he didn't. So sometimes people fit into that category. They're innocent. People that have cancer and diseases and such, and children who have those kind of things, you think they brought that on themselves? There's no way. You know, so we have to use our mind and logically about it. Yeah, there are certain things that we do to ourselves and make it where we do have to suffer, for sure. You know, if we don't take care of ourselves, our bodies, our hearts, whatever, we do have to suffer. You know, we bring physical suffering upon ourselves from that. If we eat right and we live a good godly life, I believe, and God blesses in that, that has a lot to do with it. We don't have as much stress. We have someone we can cry unto when we have problems and pain and anguish, and someone who can change things, situations in our life too, that can help bring about peace. And that peace, I think, it helps our body to be healed physically even, you know, and especially prayer. We have that advocate with God to cry out to Him and ask Him for things even we need physically. And many times we're amazed at what we see happen just by those effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, you know. We see how that it changes things physically that we can tangibly look at. Amen. And so we have something greater than so many more do. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll read a little bit there. First Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7. It says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though not for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." He's talking to some people here that's going through great, great manifold temptations here. But he wants us to know too today, not just that it wasn't to us, but it was written to someone else. But it's the same with us today, that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold, than what we consider probably one of the most important things here in this life, than gold. Our faith being tried is more precious. And what is it for? That it may be found in the end to be for praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus. So you know, sometimes we need to look at, and when we're going through these things, in a different light. We need to realize that this is just part of the deal. That we're going to have to go through things. And that God uses those things. You know that scripture up there in Timothy says, "All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose." You know, well, it helps all that make sense, don't it? Even our faith being tried, even us being tempted, even us suffering, if you would, having to go through things, makes us more into the image of what God wants us to be. He's forming us. He's molding us. He's making us. He's fixing us into where we're something usable unto Him. That we're a vessel unto honor and not a vessel unto dishonor. And that's what we need to think about. Chapter 5 of the same 1 Peter, verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." These words right here, the last words in this passage here, this perfect, I don't mean it. He just made you perfect, and He just made you sinless, and you know, you're done, you're finished. It means that it makes you thoroughly complete. And it also says in here, repair. And it says figuratively or literally to adjust. So God's adjusting you. God is taking and making you have all the things you need to be thoroughly complete. You can look at the examples in the Bible. What about Joseph? The things he went through, what was happening? God was grooming him and making him into what he would be when the time come for him to rise to be only second in power in Egypt. Only to Pharaoh. That's exactly what happened. You look at Moses. After he left Egypt, he had already been given a great education, and he was wise and all those things. One of the best probably there was there. Then he was in that wilderness for 40 years or whatever, where he took his wife and all those things. But he wasn't ready when he came out. But when he went back, he was. God allowed all those things to shape him and mold him and make him into that man that was ready to go in there and say, "Let my people go," and to carry it out, see? And it's the same way with us. God has that same plan going on with us. May not be as great a call as it was then, but it's a great call in bringing people to the Lord and being the right example and preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the same. The other word there, "establish you," means, it says, to turn resolutely in a certain direction or to confirm. To set steadfastly. That's what that word means right there. Establish you. Well, I'm telling you what, there's a lot of times us as Christians, we need the Lord to take and turn us and set us on that right path that He has for us to do and establish us and steadfastly set us up there, put us in that certain direction. And that certain direction is what the Word of God says. It's the right path. It's that narrow path. It's not that big, wide, and going to destruction. It's that little narrow path that there are a few people that's going to be on it that's walking down through there, living their life this certain way. Even if we're peculiar, and even if people think we're strange, or people think we're fanatics or religious, whatever. If they think we're holier than thou, or holy rollers, or whatever they want to call us, it doesn't really matter. But that's the path that we need to be on. And we need the Lord to set us there sometimes. The strength in here, it refers to bodily vigor. It says spiritually, this also means to confirm, but it's in spiritual knowledge and power. Boy, we need to be strengthened in that sometimes too, don't we?
We need some, like that bodily vigor is, we need that in our spirit, don't we? We need it in the knowledge that we get from God's Word, and we need it in the power too. You know, if the Lord's people was living their life like they should and letting that light shine, and people knew without a doubt that we knew what we was talking about right from the Word, and we spoke it with power because we have that right here before us. And that authority that it gives, and it's not of us, is because it's God's inspired Word. It's not what man thinks. It's not Darrell's opinion. It's not Emerson's opinion. It's not any man's opinion. It's not the Church of Christ doctrine. It's not any other church doctrine. It's the Word of God. The inspired Word of God. That's all that's going to matter. There ain't nothing else going to matter. There ain't no church doctrine, and there ain't no man's opinion going to get you to heaven. You'll burn in hell. If you want to live your life by man's opinions or things other than the Word of God. And that's plain as it gets. I don't know how to put it out any more clearly than that. And I'm not being ugly. I'm just being honest. That's the truth. This last part says, and settle you. This is like laying a basis for. It's like laying a foundation is the comparison. It says, literally to erect. To raise a statue up or set it up. And it's figuratively to consolidate. That's what the Lord needs to do. Was it this one little bitty verse right here? You could preach a whole sermon out of it. Of the things that it's saying right there in that one verse right there. And it's this suffering for a while. This suffering for this little vapor of a time. You know, I know some of you may have a lot of problems and I don't know about, but going through things, and you may have physical ailments, and you may have all kinds of things that I don't really know about. But you know, this suffering is just for a little while. That's it. This little period of a vapor that we live here on this world and in this earth, and then we're gone. And we'll be facing the Lord. And see, if we bring all that into perspective, these physical things and these things we're going through, you know what? They mean very little. But how can we use them to be more like what God wants us to be? And how can we use this to bring others to Him? That's the important things, the important questions. There's a... God uses sometimes it to shape us, refine us. The book of Hebrews, it declares that Jesus learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, I believe it is. You know what? I tell you what, we learn obedience too sometimes by the suffering we go through too. And sometimes that suffering helps us not to do it again. It helps us to learn. Sometimes it helps to make us more into what God wants us to be. Sometimes it helps to set us back on this path that He's talking about. Sometimes we just simply learn when that situation comes up again, when we're suffering or we're being tempted or we're being tried, that we'll know what to do the next time. Other times there's this too, that by us going through great suffering sometimes, that we're able to comfort others. We're able to help others. We're able to use our experience to keep others from having to go there. I say that's a real nice thing. If there's anything that I could say to keep you from having to go through anything that I have been through, it's all been worthwhile for me then. If I could keep not one, but just even more than one, just one would be fine. But who knows? If we all go about using the tools that God has given us, we can keep other people from having to go. Or you know what? Best of all, we can bring comfort to others while they're going through these things. That's a very important thing I think that we miss out on sometimes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. It says, this is Paul. He's starting here and he's talking about, it says, unless I be exalted above measure, though the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest that I should be exalted above measure. Paul, he had this thorn in the flesh. The Bible doesn't really tell us what that thorn was. Some people speculate on what it was. But you know what? It doesn't really matter what it was. It says here that he sought the Lord thrice that it might depart for him. In verse 9 it says that the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So the Lord... His decision was that you don't need it removed.
And it could have very well been here that he would be exalted above measure. You know, Paul, he said if he anyone had a reason to boast, that he did. And he tells about himself. But he has this thing here, and it's called, this thorn in the flesh is termed as the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You know, I guess a lot of us could refer to the things that we suffer and we go through sometimes as that same thing. But maybe it is. God using the things in this world to buffet our bodies, to keep us from getting all puffed up and all so proud maybe, and maybe that we would stumble, or maybe that we would fall. Maybe that it keeps us humble. Whatever it is. But you know, we have the same thing that Paul had there. We have the Lord's grace too. And it's sufficient for us just the same. And it's the same way with us too. That's the last part of that verse. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, old Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when he's strong. That's when the Lord, you know, I say it sometimes, when I can get myself out of the way enough, where the Lord can use me, He can accomplish the things. Where you don't have that resistance against my fleshly body, who I am and what I am, and I'm not trying to do what I think is right. When I'll just get out of the way and do what the Lord wants me to do, that's when it all works just like it should. I've seen times when I didn't really feel like preaching, and probably preached the best sermons ever preached. Because myself was out of the way and there wasn't any resistance, and everything that come out, it had to be the Lord, because I didn't feel like I had any more. And that's when it works the best. So we need to think about these things. God does allow them to happen. And He does allow them to happen for a reason. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. It says, grace be to you and peace. I'm in 1 Corinthians, y'all. I'll get there in a minute. I knew my reference wasn't looking right there. All right. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, whom comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. See, that goes back to what I was talking about earlier. When we suffer and we go through things, we know how to help people to get out of what they're in. Or I can say, brother, I know right where you're at because I've been there before myself. I know exactly how you feel inside because I felt that inside myself. If you hadn't ever been there too, you don't understand. You know, we can be as loving and caring as kind as possible, but if we just don't know, we just don't understand. And that's the facts of the matter. But if we do know, if we have been there, then we really do understand. Suffering also helps believers to identify with Christ, which is more than suffering for Christ. It helps us to realize, you know, and truly take with that meaning, if we're Christians, we identify with Christ. We understand who He was and what He was. You know, the early Christians, and you can read it from the Fox's Book of Martyrs, most of them gave up their life for what they believed. They laid down their life. They were beheaded. They were hung on crosses. They were hung upside down. They were burnt and dipped in oil and stuck up on poles and sawn asunder, as it refers to in the New Testament. Some believe that Isaiah was one that fit into that. But anyhow, they laid down their lives for what they believed. They did the ultimate suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you that we don't go through very much suffering at all, really. You know, people calling us names and saying things about us, maybe poking a little bit of fun, saying a few things to us, that's not really suffering. That's not really no persecution. Not really. When you consider Paul and him was beaten, thrown in jail, and you name it. Stone, shipwreck. Paul can tell you all the things that he went through. John the Baptist beheaded, had his head cut off. And what was it for? He stood up and told Herod that he couldn't have his brother's wife for the truth, for the Word of God. This is what God says. Had that kind of boldness to stand up and say, look, I don't care who you are. God's Word says this. Ultimately, he got his head cut off, you know. That's it. Now, that's some serious persecution, isn't it? If you've seen the Passion of Christ, if you've seen how they beat her Lord in that. It was a good example of how they did and what they did, and it gave you just a glimmer of light toward what may have really happened with our Lord, that serious beating that they gave Him before they crucified Him. And the crucifying was considered one of the harshest, awfulest punishments that there could ever be. And He went through both of them. Why? Because He loved us so much. He was willing to suffer for us. He wasn't sinful. It wasn't for His sins that He suffered and that He died. It was for our sins that He suffered and died. Isaiah turns in 53:5. It says, by His stripes we are healed. Jesus was beat so we could be healed. And not just spiritually, otherwise too, physically too. The things like I was talking about earlier. When we pray to God, we pour our hearts to God. It amazes the doctor sometimes how that people heal and how they get well faster. It just amazes them. So the Lord went through many and great things for us. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. It says, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Sometimes we have this idea that we teach people and we tell people, and I guess we get out on a limb just a little bit when we're trying to tell people things to bring them to the Lord, that, man, if you'll just come to the Lord, everything in your life will just be all right. Well, you know what? That ain't exactly the truth, is it? Many times people comes to the Lord and it does straighten out that relationship with Him. And it does remove our sins. It does give us someone there with us who will be with us and watch over us and never leave us nor forsake us. But many times the devil jumps right in there on us. And he's just like a duck on a June bug. He won't let up. And because he knows if you grow in Him and become strong in Him, you know what? He won't be able to take you down. That's why he comes at you like he does, and he brings everything that he has at you to try to stop it right there, to take away that seed that's been sown in you. And sometimes it seems like that anyways. You know, this scripture wouldn't say if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus that you shall suffer persecution if it wasn't true. You're going to. But you're going to have somebody there with you and for you, and the one who is in control of it all on your side. And like I say sometimes is, if you have God on your side, you have the majority then. You have the win in hand. There's no way around it. You have the one on your side that matters. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This is Paul talking about and telling about who he is and where he was and all these things. He was of the tribe of Judah, circumcised on the 8th day, or Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law. He's a Pharisee, he's ill, persecuting the church, just telling everything about himself here. Then in verse 10 it says, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So Paul's talking about here part of the fellowship that he has as part of the fellowship of his suffering. Have you ever thought about your fellowship and the Lord being fellowship with His suffering? Well, that's what Paul's talking about here. Being made conformable unto His death. In the same way that Jesus suffered and died for us, then that's the way we should be too. We should suffer into things and put our old man down and die to him that same way. But we don't necessarily think about sometimes that our relationship and our fellowship with Him being that way, do we? But maybe we need to. That's the thing about it. And says another type of suffering is that endured for the sake of others. Talked about that a little bit, how Isaiah talked about how Jesus suffered. Says He was a suffering servant and a sin bearer when He declared those things, what I talked about earlier in 53:3, by His stripes we are healed. And Matthew chapter 17 and verse 12. It says, "But I say unto you that Elias is come, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer for them." So Isaiah, he came, and they did whatever they wanted to him. And Jesus here is telling them from his words that how that same thing's going to happen to him, they're going to do him the same way, that he's going to suffer for people, for them, and not only them, but for us as well. Luke chapter 24 and verse 46. It says, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high." So Jesus, it behooved him, Christ, to suffer and to rise on that third day. These things allude toward the cross, that suffering, old cruel cross that we look at. This is part of us taking up our cross and bearing it for the Lord too. Jesus said, if you're not willing to take up your cross and bear it after me, you're not worthy to be one of my followers. If you're not willing to take up suffering for my sake, for suffering for righteousness' sake, then you're not worthy. You're not willing to be one of His. You're not ready. You're not prepared. That's what He's saying. So we need to think about these things. Sometimes suffering, we bring it about. Sometimes we don't know why it happens. Sometimes it's the physical aspects of sin in this life and it has progressed so far. Sometimes it's the sins of other people that we have to pay for. That's just part of it. We have to suffer one for another. Sometimes we have to suffer with other people the same way. But you know, we draw that comfort from God, you know. When Jesus left, His promise was unto His to the apostles is that He would go to the right hand of God and He would send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And He said, "I will not leave you comfortless." And that's where we draw our strength. That's where we draw our comfort. The things that are eternal. In Thessalonians, when it talks about those who are dead in the Lord, that the others won't prevent them. And it talks about us being caught up to meet Him in the air and all those things. And the last verse in that passage says, comfort one another with these words. That's supposed to be a comforting thing. The things of God, the things of eternal life, when Jesus comes back to take us to be with Him, that's something that I draw comfort from. That's things that we as brothers and sisters in Christ draw comfort in. That's the only way that anyone is going to have comfort and peace, is that they draw it from the Lord. There are a lot of people out there that need it. There are a lot of people that don't have it. And that's the only source it can come from. If you're subject to the invitation, come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.